Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We are going to be diving into, just selling it up front here so everybody knows, the 29th of March, we'll be kicking off the ratification dates. We're kicking off basically what we call the bread and butter of the show, because when I tell you that you are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic-based solutions, then we're telling you that the ratification debates are that, is the evidence and the solution, because we, all we've got to do is start remembering or identifying the fact that the Constitution is a compact. And the compact actually has legal defined terms and definitions of what each of these lines mean. We don't need a justice to actually interpret the Constitution. As a matter of fact, every encroachment that the justices have made is in spite of the ratification debates, because the ratification debates are where the Federalists, as the states were considering whether we're going to buy into this compact or not, that's what the whole term ratification means, the formal acceptance. It wasn't just, okay, we got a binary vote, yes or no. We can't talk about it. We can't read it until after we vote. That wasn't the way back then. And so this is why they discussed the Constitution line by line. And the Federalists provided the clarity of what those lines meant. As Madison stated when he was writing a letter to John G. Jackson, it didn't matter what he or anybody at the Constitutional Convention thought the Constitution meant. In other words, as he was, because what was happening was John G. Jackson was asking, and we've actually read this letter as a part of the evidence, but John G. Jackson was asking for Madison's notes on the Constitutional Convention, because everybody knew that he took these copious notes. So Madison, instead of giving him the notes, said, it doesn't matter what we said, what we thought, you know, and how we considered the Constitution. The only thing that matters is how the states understood the Constitution at the time of ratification. So this begs the question, why was it that when new states joined the Union, they weren't given copies of these ratification debates so that they could understand the terms and definitions of the compact? If every state would have received the ratification debates as understanding the limitations of the federal government and or the general government is what I prefer to say, but bottom line, the ratification debates possess those defined or those definitions and those terms that actually clarify and elucidate the Constitution. But it's not just clarification. You have to understand that in a legal contract process, these terms and definitions are legally binding. If you have ever done a contract with the federal government and you send emails discussing and clarifying what this line means in the contract that you're basically creating with them, because I've done this, those emails become legally binding documents. I dare you go and start looking at contract conflicts with the federal government, and you will find that the federal government uses any kind of communication whatsoever if they can, you know, whether it be a phone message, whether it be an email, or whether it be an email between one employee of the subcontractor or a contractor and another. This is one of the reasons why defense contractors in the early 2000s started deleting their emails, especially when they were relating to contract discussions, so that some of those email discussions between employees wouldn't bite them in the butt, because the federal government has actually found that the contractor kind of knew what they were doing, and then they sued them. I happened to work for a company that was sued, and the basis of the lawsuit was based on some of those emails. So I am here to tell you that, yes, these ratification debates are legally binding documents. And and as we've matured contract law, this is where we are. And if you understand the essence of contract law, this is the kind of metaphor, or this is the story, or little scenario I like to provide people so that they kind of understand. Let's say you, the listener, are an old friend of mine, and you own a franchise that sells hats. And you've probably heard this before, but some of you haven't. And so, I have bad luck befall me, and I need some help. And I call you up and say, hey, Mr. Listener, Mrs. Listener, you know, I'm not asking for a handout. I need some help, and I know you have, you know, a store that's kind of close to me in your franchise of, you know, hat sales, and I'm asking, could you give me a job just so I can get back on my feet, so I can pay some bills and actually, you know, be able to get moving around so that I can get a job that I could actually make money based on my actual training and value? I just need something to get back on my feet. And you go, oh, absolutely. You sure? I can't just give you money. And I go, no, I feel that would be the wrong thing to do. If you can just help me out for this short period of time, maybe 6 months. Oh, absolutely. And so you send me a contract. Instead of pointing me to the, you know, HR, you send me a labor contract. And in the labor contract, it states that I have to wear a hat. Now, it doesn't state what type of hat. So, and I know that at your establishments that everybody has to wear a ball cap, but I don't have a ball cap. I only have one hat. So I send you an email back and say, dear friend, Mr., Mrs., listener, whatever gender you are, and I really need some clarification because the contract says I have to wear a hat. I believe that everybody in your establishment has to wear ball caps. However, I don't have one. I can get one after I get my first paycheck. So is it okay that I work my first week or so wearing the hat that I have, and then I can buy one, but I just can't afford to buy one at this point in time? As you know, I've got some hard luck befall me. And you come back with an email and actually tell me, absolutely, you can wear any hat you got. That's fine with me. And then you can get the hat later. So, great. I start work on Monday. I go in and, you know, they're just opening up for the employees to get everything kind of laid out in the store. You know, things all refreshed, placed back where they are, get things turned on, all of that. And I walk in into the sales floor area where the manager is, and he says, hey, you can't wear that because the only hat, by the way, that I have is a top hat. And he says, you have to wear a ball cap. And I go, actually, the owner told me that I could wear this until, you know, my first paycheck. He goes, no, you're going to wear a ball cap, and that's it. If you don't have a ball cap on your head, you're not working here, period. And I said, well, I don't have one. He goes, then you're fired. So he fired me. Now, guess what? I have it in writing that you gave me permission to actually work on a salary for a certain amount of money in this labor contract that I could wear any hat. And I got fired for not wearing the hat that was prescribed, even though I had a clause in the contract that you provided me via email otherwise. And guess what? Now you have been put into a position where I could sue you for the guaranteed salary because I was fired in violation of the terms of our labor agreement. And so you understand that emails and anything that is discussing the contract is legally binding. And I just want you to understand how important these ratification debates are, and they are our national treasure. You want to get smart on the Constitution? You want to be able to tell people that, you know, can cite the Federalist Papers off the top of their head? you could do circles around them, because the type of content and the type of information in these ratification debates goes into far more detail. Far more detail, as a matter of fact. We'll get into some of that. But what we want to do is we want to tell you that the show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org. And I want to remind you that in our shows coming up next week, we will be airing the Dr. Vial interviews as well as Aaron Tilbury interviews, because it's been a long time, and these topics and these discussions is really, really important. Now, I am here to tell you that Dr. Vial is a great man. I have the most respect for this guy. But I also understand, and I think the real point in, you know, boiling this all down is that when we start dealing with people that are very good conservatives, everyone has their self-interest. And I've gone to many, and I've approached some that I'm not even going to mention their names. We will start mentioning names in the near future. We will have a website that actually says, these are the people who we're working with, and these are the people who we've approached and have not, you know, obtained that affiliation and that tie yet. And then that way you can see who's who, and you can see, you know, okay, so they have reached out to these people, and what's holding them up? And then you can start figuring out and filling in the gap what's holding them up. And so when we come back, I will kind of close on the good Dr. Vial and kind of help explain exactly what and why people hold out on solutions. We'll be right back after this. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so I want you to understand. As a matter of fact, if you look up Dr. Vial, he has a plethora of books. He's a prodigious writer on the Constitution. And I just want you to understand that when it comes down to something that would actually affect you personally, your self-preservation kicks in. And so in the interview, it takes a while, and I finally, you know, drive the issue. Would you support republic review? And he says no, he'd rather support a convention of states. Because when it comes down to full compliance to the Constitution,
the federal government has no business funding state colleges, universities, or education in any form. They just don't have that delegated power, and he knows this. And so, but he's never told me this. I'm just making deductions, because the reason why people will not be involved in Republic Review and actually may become real opponents to it is because they understand that Republic Review will end their form of livelihood, if you put it into that perspective. Many conservative entertainers, many supposed or alleged constitutional educators and groups like that. I mean, I disagree on the educators. And as a matter of fact, I point to the Eagle Forum, where I have a lot of Eagle Forum presidents, not a lot, but I've got a good percentage of large Eagle Forum presidents that actually support Republic Review. And so they're not, and we're trying to get them to, you know, to become advocates in arguing against the Convention of States. And actually, what we're going to do, instead of arguing against them, what we want to do is we want to flush out of the state legislatures who really care about the problem and who care more about the opportunity from working their solution of the Convention of States that won't do anything. In other words, who are those who have their own self-interest? Because that's what we need to identify. Clearly, the Convention of States, as we've gone through this ad nauseum this year, it will not solve the problem, nor do they care about solving the problem. They're trying to sell you on the concept that it can solve the problem, but they have zero amendments to do so. That's why we're here to tell you that if you really care about the solution, if you really care about saving your liberties and this Constitution, then you have to get involved, and you need to start getting involved today, because look at the Biden administration. We don't have much time, and in the marketing today that we're going to go through, you are going to see exactly why you need to get vested and invested quickly. Let me tell you about the upcoming petition. Be clear, Bob does not want me to ask you for money and or contributions, but if you go to the We the People Foundation, you can start donating, and you can donate a monthly, you know, so many dollars a month. You can donate, you know, a one-time. It cost him $6,000. It's just like when I travel, it costs me money, and I, you know, put the GoFundMe out there, excuse me, for people to basically, you know, help with that, but that's kind of gone by the wayside. And so I have realized that, you know, getting people to actually, you know, financially help makes me seem more like I'm pandering for myself. And it's the same thing with talking about other things, you know, books and so forth. And so I'm just letting you know that if you want to help cover the cost, we're not lining our pockets with gold. We're not taking a penny that is being moved into our personal lives. Bob is an ideologue just like me. He is a true patriot just like I am. And I believe that many of you that are listening are true patriots. We're not asking, if you don't have the money, don't contribute. Just help pray that we get what we need to do this, that we have the resources, the assistance, and the greatest resource, I keep on telling everybody, the greatest resource available is your time. If you get involved with your time, I promise you, the Lord will bless you, because there is probably no more important cause in politics today than preserving liberty for mankind. Because as we start redefining the Constitution, there are going to be epiphanies left and right that we actually have a government that can be shared with the world. We could eliminate the UN. We can eliminate these globalists and what they're trying to do. We can convert the world to a world of liberty. It takes time to do that. It took Moses 40 years to change the culture of Israel. I'm not saying it's going to happen in a blink of an eye, but I will say that when Christ comes, it will happen in a blink of an eye, because that's how he works. Now, when it comes to us and our, you know, inabilities and our shortcomings, well, then it takes us time to get there. So, you know, it's kind of like that Fram commercial, pay me now or pay me later, right? Anyway, Harry, I hope you're listening. I really do hope you're listening. Let me move into some of the marketing. One of the things I need to let you know is, in talking with Ben Carr of AdLocal, PayPal is attacking conservative businesses, and they are going after him because they are looking at him as a conservative business. AdLocal is the company that I'm, you know, if you want to have email services. Now, I know that working with Ben may save you money, but it may be a little bit more effort than going to Constant Contact, Email Monkey, or what have you. But I'm here to tell you, he will make sure things start happening, and as his business grows, he'll be able to do more. He has a unique relationship with GoFundMe, and he has a contractual agreement that he is an autonomous third-party seller. They can't deplatform him. He is working, though, to move completely away from GoFundMe. And, you know, when you're getting into that level, we're talking about millions of dollars of, you know, revenue flowing and so forth to be able to have, I'll just say, the cloud type of computing to be able to provide all these types of services that he's offering. So anyway, he basically is letting everybody know that deplatforming is becoming a real instance. And so by moving into a conservative IT or infrastructure support sooner than later is better for you. And in the way this PayPal may be affecting me, it's only a matter of time before they probably realize that I am way too conservative and they will no longer support transactions for the selling of my books. This is the ideological war. This is the final ideological war, and they are working together in going after anybody that opposes communism and their ideologies. What do you expect? Satan has no tolerance. These ideologues that are embracing this type of evil doctrine, they have zero tolerance, and this can be even proven. Look in every aspect. Look at the homosexuals wanted to be left alone. Now they want to ram their agenda down your throat in the education system and everything else. Do you understand? Once it's like the, go look at the parable or the little story of the camel's nose in the tent. How the camel gets his nose into the tent and then pushes you out. Anyway, let me move on. Have you ever wondered why? And when you listen to your favorite conservative entertainer and the details that they expose and the evils that are going on behind the scenes, have you ever wondered why they go into the trenches to argue with regard to the progressive narratives? You know, those progressive narratives of racism, illegal aliens, or immigration, or global warming, or marriage itself, homosexual marriage, and the brutal intolerance towards anybody that doesn't accept their redefining of marriage. Healthcare, vaccines, Second Amendment rights, the welfare state, abortion, alternative power, gender dysphoria, labor, and even the regulation of businesses and minimum wage. There's a plethora of these types of arguments that the conservatives constantly go into the trenches and argue. But have you ever understood why they argue this and why they do this? Because bottom line, this is wrestling with pigs. You don't have to go into the trenches. All you have to do is just clearly assert that these are all unconstitutional usurpations that have been assumed by the general government. They don't have the power to do it. Regardless of the ideological arguments of why these things are wrong, They don't have the contractual authority. The states never delegated the power for any of these things to be done by the general government. Which means that if we want to solve the problem, all we have to do is force the elixir down their throat. And the states have all the power to do that. Remember when I was saying, and I was talking earlier about self-preservation, if you understand Republic Review, you are going to start understanding how politicians, too, have this paradigm of self-preservation. And so I'm going to give you an example in the 2020 presidential election, how self-preservation has kicked in. It even kicked in with Reagan. We will be right back after this, and then we'll get into some G. Edward Griffin's Need to Know News. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so self-preservation of politicians. And when you start actually arguing these things, all of a sudden people come up behind you. If you're a politician, if you're in the fray, if you don't have the epiphany to realize, shoot, if we actually make all of these things go back into where they need to be, and some of these things belong at the, you know, community services, churches, and so forth, if we actually force these things to go back, then that huge public trough, the treasury, actually just shrinks magically. But the thing that doesn't shrink is our economy. Now, there are many things that the federal government is driving, because some of the things that they drive and the things that they spend money on regarding defense and intelligence, as long as it is legitimate defense and or, I will say, foreign intelligence, they have no business working with and collecting any data that has anything to do with United States citizens. But anyway, I want to remind you of the presidential election in 2012, and that was when anybody but Romney, you know, the GOP was, you know, finding the next candidate, the next, you know, arm candy, whatever you wanted to say, because they were really trying to fight the Romney nomination machine that Romney had going. And so they went through, you know, Walker, Santorum, and a few others. And at one point in time, Rick Perry was the chosen prom queen. They were taking him around and showing him off. And during a debate, or leading into a debate, he made a comment a week before the debate that Social Security was unconstitutional. Go look it up. He made this, you know, this declaration that Social Security was unconstitutional. And then he was interviewed during the debate by one of the moderators that said, "Do you still believe that?" And he said, "No." Somebody whispered in his ear to say, "If you take this position, we will not support you, because that's the untouchable third rail. We will not go there because we're not going to just..." But I have told you that there's an easy way to fix it without hurting anybody. But nobody wants you to know this. Nobody wants you to know that, because Milton Friedman even points it out. What you have to do is you have to actualize and end the promise. You actualize it and you pay those people who have put into it. And that's it. And if you look at how much that would cost, out of all of the rest of the unconstitutional government that goes away, it becomes a very easy problem to solve. Because look at the trillions of dollars, as I've proven over the past couple of weeks, the trillions of dollars that they've been spending on all this unconstitutional stuff in the first place. We have more than enough money and capable of getting out of the business of, you know, underwriting everybody's lives. That's not the federal government's job. Anyway, let me kind of move forward. And so this next story, I want to highlight something that La Raza, if you understand who they are, this is a radical communist organization that happens to be Mexican or of the race. La Raza means the race. Has obtained key positions in the state of California regarding government. You've probably heard about this because I believe maybe even Tucker Carlson's exposing this. There's lots of people that are exposing this. But the evidence is, you know, that you don't may not understand is this is how these radicals have been able to get involved in our education system. What you may not know is they already successfully got away with this type of curriculum for a short period of time in Tucson, Arizona, back in 2010. So J. Edward Griffin reports, Marxists in California are trying to influence 6 million students in primary and secondary schools by teaching them they are oppressed by American culture, which is characterized as genocidal, Eurocentric, white supremacist, racist, capitalist, classist, and patriarchal. The idea is to make the kids want to destroy or overthrow the system. The ultimate goal is to decolonize American society and establish a new regime of counter-genocide to displace white Christian culture. But they don't understand, you know, Christian culture is not white. It's not about white. It's about all humanity. Anyway, they want to restore indigenous culture and beliefs, including the Aztec religious system. The curriculum would require students to chant to the Aztec gods of human sacrifice and cannibalism. California's proposed ethnic studies, quote-unquote ethnic studies curriculum, calls for the decolonization of American society and this counter-genocide against white Christians. The curriculum would also require students, as I already said, would chant this human sacrifice of cannibalism. Investigative reporter Christopher Rufo obtained the proposed curriculum and broke it down. And he broke it down into these two salient points. First, the solution, according to the curriculum materials, is to, quote, name, speak, and resist and transform the hegemonic Eurocentric neocolonial condition in a posture of, quote, transformational resistance, close quote. The ultimate goal, and I'm going to get this name wrong, Kutin says, is to engineer a counter-genocide against whites. There you go. The second salient point. The curriculum includes an official, quote, ethnic studies community chant in which students appeal to Aztec gods, including the god of human sacrifice, for the power to become, quote, warriors, close quote, for, quote, social justice, close quote. Students seek a, quote, revolutionary spirit, close quote, through these incantations. It's almost like satanic practices in our school. Now, I've written regarding how the federal government has gotten away with creating a secular godless church. And they have not gotten just away from and gotten into secular godlessness. They have moved into anti-Christian, and they have created the Antichrist Church. Our federal government has done this. And now you see how it has not just become secular godless, it has become the Antichrist Church. And we're paying for it, and it's all unconstitutional. So why complain and why get into the trenches regarding unconstitutional things? All we have to do is say, hey, cease and desist. You have no authority to do this. Where do we delegate this power? And we all we have to do is point to the states to prove that they have the power to shut this crap down. So what's it going to take? What is it going to take for me and to get you, yeah, for us to get you to get involved? Now, there are a few people out there that just don't have the time. You're doing well. You're making money. If you want to get involved and you want to send money to the We the People Foundation, help Bob continue doing what he's doing. I'm not asking for money. I am hoping and praying because somebody has stepped forward and says, I'm going to take care of you. We're going to make sure that you can do what you need to do, which is great. It's more than I can ask for, but the problem is it's going to take time before everything lines up and these things, the spigot gets turned on or what have you. But I'm okay. I'm able to function at this point with, you know, what I've got. Help Bob. Help the NLA. Get involved. And like I said, I'm trying to get the NLA to start, you know, having $3 a month membership fees so that some of that money can be used at a local level and some of that money can be used at a national level to be able to pump out the products and the things necessary to help teach people about Republic Review, about the Constitution and how we comply to that. How do we get into, you know, constitutional forms of government at the county, state, and so forth? The National Liberty Alliance is that entity, okay? And on the political side, this is why I constantly have been telling you to get involved with the party. Go sit with the Constitution Party. Then we need you to actually be attending the Republican Party. There are lots of people there who have joined with this intent of trying to help the conservative cause. But you have to point out to them that this party is void. It's almost like godless because it is void of the Constitution and helping people understand what is constitutional and how to enforce the Constitution. One of the big problems, and I point to this, is the party. So let me move on. As we go into some of these coming up, I'm going to have to make some caveats, but this one right here is interesting. Google search engine, G. Edward Griffin reports, Google search engine is bias censored and tracks its users. Brave is a new browser that has acquired Tailcat, the open search engine that will actually become the foundation of Brave and its search. Brave will not track you, will not filter, I use actually Firefox because I know Firefox has lots of these protections. But with Brave, it sounds like I have now a good competing browser choice. But I do not use Google, and I do not use Edge or Internet Explorer, Microsoft crap, or Google crap. Anyway, we will be back. And just because they're spying on us, and they don't care. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me get back to this Brave browser. Brave will not track you, and I don't believe Firefox is tracking you. But it's interesting, you can't have Firefox on your phone. At least if you can download it and you have that type. I will tell you, if you have an account where you can go to the Amazon store and so forth, you have a phone that they are tracking you regardless. And they probably do have hooks within Mozilla's Firefox on that phone platform that they can spy on you. Because if you do the research, you'll find there are tens of thousands, not 100,000 plus apps out there that are and have the ability for the big tech to actually follow you, track you, and maintain a good image of your digital footprint. Anyway, Brave will not track you, will not filter or manipulate your search results, and will not sell your data. It is available on mobile, tablet, and desktop operating systems. So I'm going to go download probably this weekend. It is set to acquire Tailcat search engine technology soon and will be the first major alternative to Google's Chrome browser plus Google search engine. So they're trying to create this pair. And so send big tech a message and get your butt off of Chrome, Edge, and what the big tech want you to use so that they can spy. And if you didn't know, Chrome has actually been spying. There's a $650 million lawsuit that they are basically pleading out because they've been tracking you even incognito mode. Anyway, under the hood, nearly all of today's search engines are either built by or rely on results from big tech companies. In contrast, the Tailcat search engine is built on top of the complete independent index, capable of delivering the quality people expect, but without compromising their privacy. Tailcat does not collect IP addresses or use personally identifiable information to improve search results. There you go. So this next one is all about communism and parental rights. J. Edward Griffin reports, Surrey, British Columbia, Rob Hoogland is the father of a teenage girl who decided at 14 years of age that she wanted to be a boy. She was encouraged by her school to make the transition without her parents' knowledge. Her father believes she is too young, 14 years. too young to medically transition to a male and that such an attempt can leave her sterile. In an interview, Hoogland said that the school's officials are taking kids during school recess to get hormone shots while preventing parents from being informed that their child is being transitioned. I hope you're understanding what this means. This is actually being done in the United States to some degrees. They're already taking away your parental rights. We must restore. The government does not have any rights to become the parents of our children. This is communism. The doctors, school officials, and now the Supreme Court of Canada have decided that this father does not have the authority to override that decision. Furthermore, he now must always refer to his daughter by using male pronouns or he will face legal action. Mr. Hoogland is set to be arrested for violating the terms of the court, which prohibit him from speaking out about the ghoulish behavior of the doctors, school counselors, and the justice system in Canada. Ta-da! I'm telling you, you better start getting motivated. And folks, the following issue should be one of your biggest motivators in getting involved. Democrat Senator Ben Cardin was caught on C-SPAN. This is G. Edward Griffin reporting. You got to get his need-to-know news. Democrat Senator Ben Cardin was caught on a C-SPAN hot mic telling Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg that Democrats will, quote, most likely have to use reconciliation, close quote, on an infrastructure package as they did with the $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill. Reconciliation is a process that requires only simple majority vote instead of a 60% majority so Democrats can pass bills that would ordinarily be blocked by Republicans in the Senate and possibly the House. This is expected to cost between $2 to $4 trillion, which will rob the American taxpayers and expand the economic rot that is destroying America. And I'm just going to tell you that they are going to award these contracts to the favorable businesses that support them. Obama did this, Bush did this, and I'm telling you, when Bush did the favorable support, it wasn't for constitutional companies and real patriotic companies. It were those who were a part of the board that was supporting the Uniparty and the globalist agenda. I want you to remember this. In regards to the money that they are spending, we the people and the sovereign states are not accountable for fraudulent debt. I have proven this to you when we get into the ratification debates. This is why you want to hear this. We prove academically with the evidence and the terms and conditions of the Constitution that Congress cannot take on any treaty, cannot take on, because debt is a treaty. It is a contract. In taking debt from China or any country, when they buy our stuff out there, our currency, buy our bonds, what have you, that becomes a contractual debt that we have to pay them back. When they do this, both China and our government are committing fraud. And as was defined in the ratification debates, they cannot do this. So, you better get involved because I'm going to tell you that it will be a financial crisis that will require the setting aside of the Constitution and moving us into a global financial government. That's going to be the beginning of this, this whole reset and what they're going to do. It'll be a slow and it'll be a sneaky, maniacal process that will enslave us and we will no longer have our liberties. What the heck is it going to take, folks? Do you care? I believe you do because I'll tell you what, my email is, you know, getting hotter and hotter because every time, almost every day, I get emails from different people. And so I appreciate that. I'm asking and begging you to get more people involved in listening to the message. Help them. Send them the links to the Constitutional Articles page. And the very top three articles are all about Republic Review. This is the process. It's irrefutable. This is what has to happen if we're going to save our tails. That's it. Let me move on because I could keep on going on and on and on. Big tech platform, G. Edward Griffin reports, big tech platform Twitter has blocked posting any content from video streaming service BitChute with an Orwellian prompt displaying any time that any user tries to post a BitChute link. Twitter doesn't identify who their partners who made the censorship demand. The censorship tactic applies to all content posted from BitChute, essentially locking off one of the internet's largest streaming services from Twitter. This represents a Soviet-style internet in which the free flow of information... Now, I'm just telling you, you know, states have the power to actually block all of these platforms, make Twitter inaccessible for their citizens. They have the power to do this. They also have the power to tax them for the money that they're making. I would say that, you know, let these platforms continue to exist and continue to charge them, and then let what I would say a competitive market or competitive platforms like we're starting to see come up. Then people will migrate off of these things and these billionaires will become broke. Anyway, moving on, G. Edward Griffin reports that the New York governor, Andrew Cuomo, is accused by a number of women sexually, as far as harassment, is being called upon to resign. Meanwhile, the case against Cuomo, and I just want you to understand that this whole thing of the murder that he has perpetrated upon citizens, the good citizens of New York, is being swept under the rug because everybody else is doing it. Sick people, G. Edward Griffin moves on, sick people to be placed in nursing homes among the elderly and frail that resulted in an estimated 15,000 deaths has been sidelined. Cuomo's top aide, Melissa DeRosa, is in the center of the storm because she is concerned that Cuomo's administration could face prosecution for the nursing home deaths. She has ties to lobbying groups and a top prosecutor. They're understanding the massive problems that they have caused. And so one of the other things that you need to understand, in a massive bailout for a huge progressive bastion, G. Edward Griffin reports, private and public pensions have been struggling to receive an acceptable return on investment to be able to cover their butts. The recent $1.9 trillion COVID-19 stimulus bill contains $86 billion for pension funds to bail out their buddies, the unions. The New York Times wrote that the $86 billion is a taxpayer bailout for about 185 union pension plans that are so-called to collapse, that without the rescue, more than a million retired truck drivers, retail clerks, builders, I'm just telling you that what they just did here is unconstitutional. The federal government, if they bail out one, the uniformity clause requires that they do all if they have the constitutional power to do this. They don't have the constitutional power to do this. Anyway, my friends, when we come back next week, we will be providing you the Dr. Vile interviews as well as the Aaron Tilbury interviews, and then we'll be diving into the ratification base. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. What's it going to take, huh?
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.